Anyway, coming next to the stage, this one runs a couple shows over in Linkin Park. Really great improviser, great show organizer. You can see her at BYOB and Strange Hour. And you can also see her in about 5 seconds, Ms. Ashley Keenan.
Couple landmines up here. I've already been successful because I haven't tripped, so I'm excited for that. Okay, so I'm going to be really funny here. That's a very funny story, if you know me. Okay. When I first moved to Illinois, I kept a loosely packed suitcase in the backseat of my car at all times. Along with 3 changes of clothes, my passport, and a flimsy jacket, I stowed a Polaroid camera and an Atlas, which I didn't know how to use. I was accustomed to running away. I didn't like the idea of people knowing me, asking questions. I didn't know it at the time, but my philosophy in life was this. If I can make myself as small as possible, I can go unnoticed. I can be invisible. In my mind, invisibility meant freedom. Some of my first memories as a kid are of being on the run. I remember the flash of a silver waffle iron. As it hurled through the air and snapped in 2 gaping halves at my feet, my father bursting through the screen door as my mom fastened the last seatbelt of us kids and hurled out of the driveway, gravel paddling behind us. For a time, we lived in a women's shelter, all 4 of us in the same enormous bed. We shared a restroom with a family down the hall. The sheets were clean, and we ate 3 meals a day plus snack time, and their lights were always on, and there was hot water and TV and carpeting on the floor. We were genuinely happy there. Mom got a job working at the Family Dollar, and I just started kindergarten. We started to dream of what life could be. It didn't take Dad long to find out where we were, though. After several nights of him yelling streetside, stomping and threatening, we had to run again. The next morning, Mom handed us each a garbage bag for our things. "We're not coming back, so don't leave anything behind," she said. "Ashley, did you grab Oliver?" I ran to the bed and gripped my little stuffed orange cat. "I've got him," I said. We loaded everything into the car, and without so much as a wave, we disappeared. There were other places, too, at least 40 moves before I hit childhood. There was a 50-foot drop house out in Amish country. The kitchen was gray-green, tucked carelessly into the 3rd floor. We moved in such a hurry that Mom hadn't noticed a mysterious door just right to the sink. My sister dared me to open it. I turned the handle, and before I knew it, I was swinging from the doorknob, dangling 3 stories above a hollow clay pit where the owners intended to build a pool, but after years of digging, just gave up and left it. From that day on, the door was nailed shut. There was the house on Pinnacle Street where Mom tore out the bathroom because it was pink and she hated pink, so we showered in a tall Rubbermaid bucket, water crashing against broken tile as it overflowed because there wasn't any money to put a new tub in. Then there was the summer when I came back from Dad's place alone. It was cheaper to rent rooms than an apartment, so Mom moved us in with some new friends from Jersey. Mom and Tommy took the attic, and the family gave me a bedroom adjoined to their teenage son's room. Frankie was a year younger than me, and liked to wear my clothes and come in my room late at night and sit by the couch that I slept on. He never told me he was lonely or scared, but I could feel it in his breath and the way he lingered in doorways and shuffled up the stairs. I was, too. I wasn't brave enough to tell him or console him. I wasn't brave enough to suggest that we ask for help or run away. And 2 years later, when they found him dead on the orange kitchen floor, I felt those unspoken words in my throat. I could have helped him, but I was too busy being invisible. The apartments on 4th Street were in a food desert and 1.5 hours away from my voucher school. I spent my senior year there, taking the city bus home every day, cutting through homeless tents in Clutho Park so I could avoid the rehab center on Liberty Street, where men would grope me, follow me home, and rap on my window once I got inside. My mom disappeared 2 times that year, once with a tall, hollow-eyed man who'd been sleeping on our couch, then again with my stepdad. I watched behind the barred bedroom windows as they loaded hastily packed bags into the car and disappeared around the corner. I fell into a routine. I developed a strategy for avoiding the landlord so he couldn't hound me for rent. I'd drive to the south side and buy phone cards, and then I'd walk to the payphone around the corner and call my boyfriend in Columbia, while staring at a hand-painted sign on the dirt-floored convenience store that read milk, eggs, peanuts, hair. I would talk to him for an hour, about AP Lit and AP Euro and the trips we were going to take around the world. We'd talk for about an hour, or until a man would start pacing behind me for his turn with the phone. As light faded from the sky, I'd hang up and I'd think about my mom and where she was and if she'd ever come back. I think about calling, but it was getting dark, and her phone probably didn't have minutes anyway. So I walked home, double-bolted the door, and turned the TV up as loud as I could to filter away the sounds from outside. The sounds of so many people, together and alone. In the new year, we talk about resolutions. The trouble with resolutions, though, as good-intentioned as they are, is that they shame you for what you haven't accomplished. The books you never read, the man you haven't left, the raise you didn't ask for. Resolutions allow us to hide from who we are today by dreaming of who we might be tomorrow. If I learned anything in 2016, it's that invisibility is a privilege. In the morning, I can get up and put a blazer on and go into the world with a shield of whiteness that protects me from immediate judgment. People will look at me first and think I'm harmless, and second, depending on what I'm wearing or how I speak, evaluate my intelligence, my education, my socioeconomic background. But first, they label me as being harmless. And that's really the key here, is that I belong to a group of people that's viewed as neutral, as incapable of doing harm to others. At the end of the day, I can step out of my clothes, my childhood poverty, my history, and become someone else. No one can step out of their blackness, their queerness, their disability. This year, instead of resolutions, I say do the thing, be the thing, take the actions that give you and others power and purpose. Yes, self-reflection is vital to growth, but change comes only from doing. Today, I choose to be seen. Today, my hopes, values, and convictions will be embedded in my actions. I'm not going to dream of who I can be tomorrow because I have the power to be the person, to be that person today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ashley Keenan. That was wonderful. Amen. Please go see Ashley's shows. They're really great. She's really great. Thank you so much for sharing.